Well, tonight I'm going to invite you to listen to the 17th of these little 10-minute word pictures about Hugh Latimer. Like Tyndale, the subject last month, he was burned at the stake. And his crime? Reduced to its simplest, it was because he was an active Christian. He believed in Christ only, in the Bible only, and as a consequence he repudiated the authority of the Pope. Now we know that he was born in Leicestershire, probably not far from where John Wycliffe had busied himself with that early Bible translation, and probably about the year 1485. Latimer himself records that his father was a farmer, and that he had 100 sheep and 30 cows. There were 6 sisters, and there were some older brothers, but apparently they all died in infancy. His parents recognised that he was a clever lad, and arrangements were made to send him to Clare College, Cambridge, and he graduated there in 1514. He was ordained as a Roman Catholic priest, and he stayed loyal until he was 30 years old, but he was not nominally loyal. He was vigorously and enthusiastically loyal. Latimer never did anything by halves. In the year 1524, a godly man called Thomas Bilney felt very concerned about the state of Latimer's soul. He wished he could be won for Christ. He knew that Latimer would never listen to him. So he expressed his desire to Latimer to hear his confession as a priest. Latimer, the priest in action. My guess is that Latimer thought he was going to hear Bilney confess Protestant errors, but instead Bilney took the opportunity to tell Latimer how he had come to believe in Christ alone for eternal life. In our language, he gave his testimony. So it was that Bilney became God's instrument in winning Latimer for Christ and for the gospel. And almost immediately we hear of Latimer preaching fervently and effectively in many of the pulpits of Cambridge. John Bradford, another Anglican martyr, was one of his converts. Before long he was charged with heresy by the Roman Catholic authorities, and it seemed that his voice was about to be silenced. But then he came into contact with Dr. Butts. He was Henry VIII's physician. And as a result of that influence, he was made a royal chaplain. And that immediately took him out of the grip of the persecutors. Now, just imagine the opportunity he had. He preached before this king who had married 6 times, he did it at Windsor, and he preached the biblical gospel. Nobody will ever be able to say Henry VIII didn't hear the gospel. And strangely enough, it was that king, Henry VIII, who made it possible for him to become minister of a church at West Kington, near Chippenham, not far from Bristol, and later he became Bishop of Worcester. And I remind you of a verse in Proverbs, chapter 21 and verse 1. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. He directs it wherever he pleases. Very appropriate to the story of Hugh Latimer. A survey of the clergy in Gloucestershire, done at about this time, showed that out of 311 clergy, 168 could not repeat the Ten Commandments, 40 did not know where the Lord's Prayer was written, and 31 did not know who the author of the Lord's Prayer was. So it's obviously a huge task to bring gospel light into a prevailing darkness of a very doctrinally mixed setup. Now, in 1539, Henry VIII introduced what history has called the Six Articles. Really, it's Roman Catholic doctrine without the Pope. And as a result, sadly, Latimer was forced to give up his gospel work in Worcester, and he spent the last years of Henry VIII's life in the Tower of London. I hope you've been there as a tourist. And if you haven't, I hope you'll go. And when you go, use some imagination about the horrors of the past that went on inside that building. The man I'm talking about tonight spent year after year in that building, often without Christian friends, sometimes with them. In 1553, the political situation swung in favour of Roman Catholicism, and Latimer was arrested in Warwickshire, where at that time he was doing itinerant preaching. There were another 2 years in the Tower of London. The Queen at that time, whose nickname Bloody Mary, that is not Mary Queen of Scots by the way, was responsible for causing nearly 300 Christian believers to be burnt alive. And on the morning of October the 16th, 1555, a stake was driven into the ground in Oxford. Latimer was chained to one side and Bishop Ridley to the other. A bag of gunpowder was tied round each of their necks. The wood surrounding them was lit, and then Latimer called round to Ridley these words: "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." I hope that if you're ever in Oxford, you'll stand by the impressive Martyrs' Memorial in St. Giles Street and reflect that it's one thing to die for Christ by a bullet or perhaps by an executioner's axe. It's quite another to die slowly in the agony of flames, particularly when you could have saved yourself by giving up what you believed in. The light of Latimer's candle is now in the hands of every Christian believer. May God grant that the flame of the gospel will never go out in this land. The story of Hugh Latimer is a challenge to every Christian and to every non-Christian. Just how committed are we? As far as you think your own, you know your own heart, would you die for Christ rather than deny the truth? All right, you'd probably never be put in that position. So what do we sacrifice for Christ? Or are we a bit like Demas, who love this present world too much? The martyrdom of Latimer leaves us face to face with challenges. Are our views of God defective? Of course we know all the right words, omnipotent and so on, but if we acted on those beliefs, we would have a zeal like Latimer's. One thing is sure, great Christians like Latimer have left behind them a witness which asks, indeed demands, that we examine our own spiritual condition, that we have done with lesser things. And the way he died leaves us facing the challenge of total commitment to Christ to the end. And the response to that is with us. Amen.